Welcome to the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. We'll be looking further into the Ross Lyon and Steve Rosich sackings earlier in the week at Fremantle, and we'll be trying to tip you a winner in round 23 of the AFL home and away season.
That was out of bounds!
I don't believe it! I see it, but I don't believe it!
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now!
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant.
Yeah, terrific.
Oh! The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Hello, everybody. Thursday, time for the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. Couldn't make the first edition this week, Quarters. I had a bit on Tuesday. Something happened.
Bit of a quiet week, really, isn't it?
Oh,
yes, we missed you on Tuesday. Obviously, you were there making probably over 100 phone calls, I would imagine.
Something like about 150, I think.
Yes, yeah. After Ross Lyon's departure. Big week in the history of Fremantle. And also, let's not forget the departure of the CEO, Steve Rosich, as well, which is its own story. But massive week for the footy club, massive week for footy, and amazing year in that we've seen no coaching departures for several years and we've got four already. And I expect that's it. But, you know, I suspect Ken Hinckley had won a good competitive result this weekend.
Yeah, and I would have thought John Worsfold would want a strong finish to the season as well.
Well, they're playing finals, so this week, regardless, they can, you know, they've got a couple of goes at it.
Yeah, I think in one of the next 2 weeks, Woosher needs a strong effort from his team. I think they did really well to regroup and beat Fremantle last weekend. I don't think that was the straw that broke the camel's back as far as Ross Lyon and Steve Rosich were concerned, but it certainly was a stabiliser for John Worsfold and the Essendon Football Club.
I'll tell you what, though, I wasn't convinced. 55 contested possessions loss. I wouldn't exit that game with any great confidence.
No, if they're playing a team with a competent skill level, they lose that game. Mm. You're supposed to lose any game when you lose contested possession by 30, let alone 54, 55.
So before we get into that, obviously Ross Lyon, I guess we all saw it coming, but was it going to be executed this week? We weren't really expecting it, but it's happened.
Well, I didn't see it coming. Mm. I mean, I thought it was probably likely that they would go with him into 2020.
Yeah, I thought that as well.
And I think, probably, I would have been mildly surprised had they terminated him at the end of the season. I was shocked at the timing, but as it's been explained to me, the timing of Graham Farmer's funeral next week made them concerned that if they were to make the decision and it was to leak out on the day of Graham Farmer's funeral, that wasn't going to play too well in the public arena.
Yeah, the way I saw it is they were mathematically out of the finals. So therefore, it was. If you're going to make that decision, then the timing was fine by me.
Yeah, I don't think finals were going to save Ross though. In fact, I know they weren't.
No, but you're not going to make that announcement if you're still mathematically a chance.
Yep.
Is the point I'm making. But I think if Graham Farmer's funeral, then that's a really good decision.
So let's start on Ross. A couple of days on. With a bit of clear air, good decision, bad decision.
Oh, look, I think it's a good decision, Duff. I think is he a good coach? I think he is. We've all been critical of the Fremantle's lack of skill, and he is the head of the coaching group, so therefore he has to bear a lot of the responsibility for that. He's the greatest coach in their history, in their 25-year history, no doubt at all. Got them into a grand final, got them to not only into finals, but teams feared playing them. But I think we've come out the other end, and I guess the question is Ross a long-term coach? And, you know, the last 3 years have been a really rough ride. And I think what I've seen is a bit of a disconnect with fans, as we saw at the end of Ross's tenure at St Kilda. And I think it was time to move, yes. I thought he'd probably see out next year or at least coach into next year. He had a year left. There's the soft cap issue itself. But the legacy will right now say he's the best coach in their history. Has he been good for Freo? Yes, he has. But I think the timing is right.
So my take on it is at the start of the season, I had them for 10 wins. So I can't sit here with a straight face and say they've had a disappointing season. I think, you know, what did we say 4 or 5 months ago? We said 8 to 10 wins and eliminate the thrashings.
So mine was 8.
And
competitive losses.
And they've had competitive losses. And they've won 9 games. Would have been good if they'd have been able to get the extra win, but they have lost three or four games by under 10 points.
You know, I reckon they've moved forward in a way because they've got their 8 wins, but their losses, that the floggings are gone if you take 2 games out of it, particularly the Derby. But you look at it, they had a a backline that was as good as any backline in the competition mid-year, and before they suffered a raft of injuries. Forward line, they've had a raft of injuries. Injuries happen to every team, but they have copped a lot, and to really critical times and to really critical players. So they definitely haven't been helped with injuries. But they've moved forward in terms of, I think, the wins are there, the competitive losses are there. But it's the old bugbear of the skills, and we see it happen every week. It's the skill execution. So I think one of the main criteria for the incoming coach will be a focus on skill.
Yeah, I think his failure to fix that hurt him. It's what it results in, Quarters. It results in a plain, sometimes ugly, often error-riddled brand of footy. And also what happens with players' skills is that you talk about a player's skill level, but it's not one thin, straight line.
No.
It's a range of to where he can get to on a good day and where he sinks to on a bad day. Now, the problem is if the average of that is low enough, the bad days get horrendous. And what has happened at Fremantle is when they've had bad days, we've had these horrible, horrible anomaly results, like the 23 unanswered goals against Geelong last season, like the 2-19 off 10 extra inside 50s against West Coast in the second derby this season, and like, as we mentioned earlier on, you win contested possession by 55 and you lose the game by 5
that's
goals.
That's an unacceptable stat, which did not help, although the decision clearly had been made. You know, when I think about skill, Duff, I don't just think of it. It's a granted that everyone who's drafted has got a reasonable level of skill.
Mm.
When I think of skill, I don't just think about being able to pick up, you know, I think about in the clutch of a game when the pressure's at its fiercest, having the vision and awareness to pop it 30 to 40 metres over an opponent's reach into a player running into space, into an attacking phase. That's what I think about when I think of skill. And we don't see it often enough from Freo. And that's what you see from West Coast. That's what you see from Richmond. Hawthorn at their height, you saw. And so that's what I want to see more of. It's that ability under pressure in the real clutch of the game, which has cost Freo time and time again this year.
Yeah, and even if by shifting the skill level, and as you just pointed out, skills under pressure, so drilling skill under pressure so that players have the muscle memory and the instinct and the capability to execute those skills under the intensity that AFL games are played under. Even if they'd been able to shift their skill level by one goal a game, guess what? Fremantle's won 12 games now and they're playing finals. One goal a game.
That's right.
One goal a game.
Yep. And I think practice does make perfect. You know what I mean? If you... Again, you've got a reasonable level of skill level, but that doesn't mean it just appears during a game. You need to work at it, and you need to work at your pressure, your skills under pressure.
And it's not just about practicing it either. It's about valuing it. So, and the value you place on skill affects the way you select your teams, and it also affects the way you recruiters draft, because recruiters are human beings. If they're looking at the coach and they think, oh, he likes this type of player, then they go out and get that type of player because they think that will keep the coach happy. And they want to keep their jobs. The coach becomes one of the dominant, if not the dominant, figure in the football department. So these guys want to keep their jobs. So they go out and they think, oh, well, you know, look at the sort of players that Ross likes in his teams. They're these strong-bodied role player types. They go out and get them. And also, Fremantle pick them. You know, look who gravitates into Fremantle's team. In recent, and all these guys are great people, and they may even turn out eventually to be viable AFL players. Bailey Banfield, Mitch Croden, Lachie Schultz, Stefan Giro before he got hurt. These are the guys that are gravitating out of Peel Thunder's team and into Fremantle's team. Now, the problem with all of them is that they're all a bit dodgy on skill. And what that means is, you know, you're sending the message to your players and your player group, it doesn't matter that much. There are other things that matter more. What was the first thing that Adam Simpson did when he arrived at West Coast? They were doing some kicking drills, and Simo said, right, we're going to measure this kick. You know, the kick that comes from the back pocket to the halfback flank, the guy waiting for it is going to be standing inside a circle. If you don't hit him inside that circle, there's going to be a guy sitting there with a notebook and he's going to make a note of it. We're going to work out who can kick and who can't. And that was the first thing. And whatever else it did and whatever results they got, it sent the message to the players, this matters.
And this is the standard we're raising it to.
And the classic example of how it affected their selection is Scott Selwood. Scott Selwood was a primary member of West Coast midfield for four or five seasons before Adam Simpson arrived. Became marginal very quickly. Now, that was partly about injury, but it was also partly about the fact that of all the players at West Coast that were able to shift their skill level, Scott Selwood wasn't. And I'll name you another one. Jackson Nelson, 3 or 4 years ago, was on a par with Liam Duggan. And Liam Duggan gravitated into the team and became a permanent member. So did Tom Cole last year, not so much this year. Mm. They had better skill levels than Jackson Nelson. Jackson Nelson's been marginal, has had to fight and pick and kick and bite and scratch his way into the team. And he's in there at the moment, and good luck to him, and hopefully for him he stays there. But again, the message gets sent. This matters.
So if you had to put your house on it now, Duff, I know it's early and they'll go through a rigorous process, to quote Ross, to pick their next coach. There'll be, you know, there's a lot of candidates out there, Duff, and they should do their due diligence and talk to as many of them as they can. If I'm going to put my house on it, I think we're on the same page.
Longmuir?
I think Longmuir is a good fit. The talk from Collingwood is huge. I mean, what I like about Longmuir, He tactically astute, played a big role in Collingwood's ascension last year, has worked in the forward line as a forward line coach, did it with West Coast, sort of worked very closely with Kennedy and Darling, has worked as a back line coach at Collingwood and the team defence. Is a good relationship builder, we hear, but if you add all those things up and then you put the cherry on top, which is the Freo background, which I think it's not necessarily all about being a Freo person, but it doesn't hurt if you tick all the other boxes, I think. And right now, I think it's important for Freo to reconnect. And I think it's a good way to, if he's the choice. There may be others who emerge, Duff, who are more impressive in the interview process or whatever. But I just think right now, if I had to put my house on it, it would be Justin Longmuir. A bit of Hollywood to it as well, you know, just with the Freo background. And what I like about him too is in the latter stage of his career, he did battle a degenerative knee injury. And, you know, history tells us that good coaches come from that background where it was tough for them. It wasn't easy.
Yeah, a bit of hardship.
And he was a number two draft pick too. So he's a high-end draft pick. So I like all of that. I like the background. I like what he's brought to the table. So, you know, convince me otherwise, I guess, is what I'm saying right now.
Yeah, I'd put three front and centre, I think, for the job. And those three would be Justin Longmuir, Peter Sewich, I think, cannot be discounted.
Yep.
Because he has a long resume. He's been part of successful teams. Even though he's been out of the system for 2 or 3 years and coaching in the 18s, he's been successful in that realm.
And clearly has a good cut through with the younger generation too, clearly with his work with juniors.
And what I would urge Fremantle to do as far as Peter Sewich is concerned is ignore the noise both ways. So there are a couple of people in the Perth media that are running a Sumich campaign.
Yep.
Ignore that.
Just interview him.
And also ignore the people who say you can't have Peter Sumich back at the club because he burned a lot of bridges on the way out. Just interview him and see how he goes in the process and see how he measures up. See how he measures up against someone like Justin Longmuir. And if he's better than Justin Longmuir through the process, then the chances are he's your guy.
And it's worth doing your due diligence. Who was your third, sorry, before I continue?
Well, I think, assuming that Brett Ratten gets St Kilda, I think you have to do Brad Scott.
Yep.
I think that Brad Scott has a good coaching record. I think it was messy at the end at North Melbourne. I don't know why that happened. Maybe he was just there too long. Maybe he got stale. So I'd be interviewing him.
I'd have a chat to Carosella too. I know he's just signed at
Carosella's Essendon. Not going to be a senior coach.
Yeah, you don't think so?
So Carosella is a strategist and a guy who will be a great assistant for whoever he works alongside. But my understanding is that Carosella has no great ambitions to be a senior coach. Now, that has to change at some point, and my understanding is that it hasn't changed yet.
And I think the Sam Mitchells of this world are marked for other things over East as well. So, but I think due diligence is a phrase that needs to be followed.
Hey, if Sam Mitchell put his hand up for the job, you would be stupid not to
interview
him.
Yep.
He's been part of great cultures. He's clearly got a great footy brain. He should certainly be interviewed. Jared Schofield is one.
Yes.
You know, I think the question mark I'd put on Scully is that Scully had a great waffle record at Subiaco, but everyone does at Subiaco.
Yeah, and also I think the AFL record, it's in its infancy still, really. But what, 2-3 years now? So I think you do need to cut your teeth for a little bit longer. History's told us that. So no doubt an AFL coach in waiting, no doubt. But whether he's ready right now is another point.
Before we move on to tips, let's talk about the other thing. Is Ross Lyon going to coach another AFL club?
Yes. Whether it's next year or not, there's a lot of noise about St Kilda. Now, you talk to a lot of the fans and they say, hell no. But you talk to other people who are close to the club and they say, do not discount Nick Riewoldt's influence. Not on the board yet, not on the selection committee, but does wield a lot of power. Wants him in, no question. So I'm not ruling him out coaching St Kilda next year yet.
Okay, let's say...
But I think, yes, I do think down the track he can coach again and will coach again.
So let's say... Brett Ratten gets hired at St Kilda. If you had to pick three or four clubs...
Well, I'll give you one. GWS.
GWS, yeah, that would be my first pick.
And I think Essendon, he would be a good match for as well if John Worsfold was not to last in that gig. So they're my first two, I would suggest.
What about Melbourne? How would you view him at Melbourne?
You'd have a bit of work to do. yeah, look, I think he'd be a good fit there too. I think that they need he would be in many ways. I'm not privy to the inner sanctum, but I think in many ways the polar opposite, I would imagine, of Simon Goodwin's approach. So I think that they probably do need a harder edge to them.
Yeah,
it's been a meek capitulation this year, to say it mildly. So I think probably in that order, I think I'd actually like to see what he could do at GWS.
Yeah,
because to me, highly talented group that need a good kick up the arse. That's the way I would describe GWS.
Yeah, I tend to agree. It's interesting because we don't think they have weak players because they all go and win.
They're not weak as in toughness.
They all go and win their own ball, but they're not resilient.
Yeah,
when they're challenged.
I think toughness isn't just about running into an oncoming opponent. It's about gutsing it out for four quarters.
Yeah.
And when you know you're going to lose by 5 goals, still putting in 110% Wayne Schimmelbusch style. That, to me, is toughness just as much as running into an incoming opponent, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
So let's get on to some tips.
Okay.
Fascinating round for many reasons. Again, I'll repeat what I always say. I cannot believe it's round 23, Duff. But and there's some games here that mean absolutely nothing, but we'll go through them nonetheless. Friday night, Collingwood v Essendon at the MCG. A win for Collingwood. They can finish third. If all the cards go their way, Essendon obviously are going to play finals. A win will more or less guarantee them seventh, but they still have to rely on other results. So a lot of permutations there. My concern for Essendon is they got smashed at the contest last week. I don't like that at all about them. I'm picking Collingwood to win this game by about 18 points. I think their form line suggests that they're going to win this game. Still, Sidebottom's a big out for this week. Ruptured testicle. We've seen that in recent times.
Why has there been an outbreak of ruptured testicles in Melbourne?
I don't know. I don't think it's anything sinister behind it.
It's not contagious?
No, it's just happened.
I'm sitting here crossing my legs as we speak.
Yeah, I know. We've been down that path. Let's not go down there again. They do have the bye, so he should be back in 2 weeks. I'm prepared to pick Collingwood by about three to four goals, I think.
Darcy Moore back, we believe?
Yep.
Okay.
Things are going okay for them at the right time. I don't think they're not in my fancies for the flag just yet. I think they're one of the teams that could have an impact in September, just as the Western Bulldogs could as well.
I'll go for Collingwood by 4 goals.
Okay, on to Saturday at the SCG, Sydney v St Kilda. Apart from the fact that it's Brett Ratten's last audition as coach.
Lance Franklin's 300th game.
That's right. Thank God it's Buddy. Well, it's actually more than that. It's also McVeigh and Kieran Jack's final games for St Kilda.
For Sydney.
And if you bracket that with Grundy and Nick Smith, who've already gone, it's a bit of an era, end of an era at Sydney's. Congratulations to all those players. Buddy Franklin, 300 game. That's the interest for me in this particular contest, which is why I'm picking Sydney to win it. Buddy becomes the, we did our sums before, I think he's the seventh Indigenous player to play 300. So Burgoyne, Wanganeen, McLeod, Goods, O'Loughlin and Eddie Betts.
How close does Buddy get to the end of his contract?
He's got 3 years to go. He's come out today and said, I'm confident I'll play three more. I doubt that. I think he plays, I want him to play, I think he's got probably two.
Yeah,
I think three is probably a year too many. I just hope we see the best of Buddy again. We've already seen enough. I love him. I love him. He's one of my favourite all-time footballers. Still is, even though he's not at the Hawks. But I want to see a bit more. I'm not ready to, I'm not quite satisfied yet.
So maybe one very good year, one good year.
I'll take one very good year.
And if he goes a third, it might be 1 year.
Absolute superstar. We were talking about all the Indigenous players, who'd be the best of them. For me, it's Buddy. And you're talking about players, the ilk of Burgoyne, Wanganeen, McLeod, Goods, etc. Some good players in there, mate. And I just think my definition of it is has he changed the game? Yes. Has he brought a new dimension to it? Yes. Who out of all those players would be the number one you'd go and watch? Well, for me, it's Buddy.
Buddy, yeah, he's the most watchable.
He draws people. He just gets people in.
So I'm tipping Sydney by, I reckon, 15 points.
Okay, we won't spend much time on the next game. Duff, on to North Melbourne v Melbourne in Hobart. I would suggest that Melbourne could not wait for the final siren to go to end that fourth quarter quickly enough. It's been a horrible year, second last on the ladder, a meek capitulation. The only interest for me in this is how many Ben Brown's going to kick after his 10 last week, and I will watch the game particularly late to see Jordan Lewis play his final game because he has been a magnificent warrior for the game.
North Melbourne, comfortably. Let's move on.
Good. Okay, Geelong v Carlton, GMHBA. This is a game. Look, I'm picking Geelong, 30 points. I think their record at home is great. I just reckon this is his danger game for Geelong. They win this, they've locked in top spot, but this is not going to be on their terms for four quarters. And Teague wins this. He's 7 from 11. What a fantastic turnaround. Probably go with someone like a Guthrie on a Cripps, I reckon, just to ensure they get the job done. But I think they've got enough depth and quality. Their form's okay. I think Geelong wins this one.
Yeah, Geelong. If Geelong loses this, Geelong cannot win the flag.
Yeah, that's right.
You can take that to the bank. They've been iffy through the back half of the year. There's concern that some of their good players have gotten old. This is an absolute must-win. Locks in top position. It still means they've got a tough first week of the finals, probably against Richmond, probably at the MCG.
Yeah.
But if they don't win this, can't win for mine.
Yep. Okay, got another game that I don't care that much about. If you're a Gold Coast fan, but Gold Coast 17 losses in a row versus GWS, back-to-back smashings.
Jeremy Cameron trying to pinch the Coleman off Ben Brown.
Well, there's the interest in it, but I don't think that's going to happen, mate. He's four goals ahead, so let's see what happens in the first half, and then it might be a bit of channel switching.
Mate, if the Harlem Globetrotters come out, as the GWS can turn into when...
Yeah, just pump the ball to him.
Jeremy could have a big afternoon, so there may be some interest in it there. Give me a margin. We know the result.
I'm saying 10 goals. I just don't have that much faith in GWS at the moment. Could be a bit like, I watched a replay just quickly the other day of the 2008 final round, Hawthorn v Carlton. Buddy kicks his 100th early. They just spent the rest of the game trying to get the ball to Favola. So it could be a bit of this about the game.
All right. I'll say 50 points.
Saturday night, big game for West Coast. Need to win to lock in a top four spot.
Need to win by about 40 or 50 points to try and pinch second.
Exactly. Because if they finish third, we know what's probably... So Richmond defeats Brisbane on Sunday at the G. They're going to the Gabba, which is what I expect to happen. But as we know, anything can. I think West Coast wins this one comfortably. When I say comfortably, I think about three or four kicks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really pleased that Hawthorn hasn't brought in Jared Ruffhead. I thought it was a great send-off last week. I was a little bit uncomfortable in parts with that game, by the way, Duff. I just thought I didn't like the... I thought it showed a bit of lack of respect for Gold Coast at times. Half time, how many is he roughly going to kick? And they did spend a bit of time kicking the footy to him. Apart from that, there are other avenues to goal. But it was a fantastic send-off if you sat back and just looked at it as a tribute. What a great way to go. He earned the right to go out on his terms, and I'm so glad he didn't come over here and possibly get three kicks and just get smashed. I did not want to see that happen. Deserve better, and that's what they've given him.
Okay, I'm going to tip West Coast by 5 goals. I think they'll be...
So who gets Darling, who gets Kennedy? I'm going to start with Frawley on Darling and Sicily with Kennedy. You?
I'd go the other way. Sicily with Darling, Frawley with Kennedy.
Well, probably will and switch. But they've got the option, haven't they? So we'll see what happens there. On to Sunday, some big games here. Western Bulldogs versus Adelaide in Ballarat. And as far as the Crows go, they may as well play the game on Mars, Duff. And they actually are, because it's at Mars Stadium. So
watch this space on one of the Adelaide players. Yep. And this is, if you're Fremantle, and you're thinking, well, David Mundy's getting old, we might be losing Ed Langdon and Brad Hill, and you're looking for a way to bolster your midfield and get some more grunt in to support Nathan Fyfe, Brad Crouch.
Yes.
Watch this space with Brad Crouch.
Is that Freo?
I think Adelaide will lose one of the Crouch brothers.
I would have thought it might be a Gold Coast.
If I were Fremantle, I would be into Brad Crouch.
Yep.
He's young, he's hard, he wins a lot of ball. If you put speed around him, he's a very good player. I'd be going gangbusters to get Brad Crouch if I'm Fremantle.
So for the Western Bulldogs, McRae has had some 10 weeks, averaging 37 possessions over that period of time. What a fantastic... they've got a lot of depth, the Dogs.
This is the team that no one wants to finish fifth or sixth.
So dare I say it, Duff, if it all goes pear-shaped for the Eagles and they drop to fifth and the Dogs win as we expect they do, we've got the Bulldogs coming over here in week 1 of the finals. When did that happen?
I think the Bulldogs will finish 7th.
Yeah, they could. They could.
So I think that but they will be the test for a team in elimination final. I mean, Essendon are fluky and flaky, so they could bob up and have a good day against you in a final. But the Bulldogs, wow, they're coming. And that midfield is powerful. I just wonder what they've been doing for 2.5 years, really.
Chopping a few players from the list, really. That's what they've been doing.
I'm probably working out the party boys.
4 points and 2.6% behind the Dogs, Adelaide. So, we'll see what happens there. Picking the Dogs?
I'm picking the Dogs. I think that if Adelaide couldn't get it done last week, they can't get it done.
Richmond v Brisbane at the MCG. Richmond fourth, Brisbane first. Richmond win top four and hope the Eagles win. Charlie Cameron, probably Dylan Grimes, if he's fully fit. 5 goals again last week. Formed small forward in the competition. It was great to see. They only won by a point, by the way, which we tend to forget that when we're talking Geelong up or down. Only lost by a point at the Gabba, which is not a bad effort, Geelong. But Brisbane, a lot to like about them. I think Richmond, we know how well they play at the G. Again, we've got two great defenders against two great forwards, Lynch, Riewoldt, Harris Andrew, and Marcus Adams' form last week was terrific and has been building since he came back into that side. So a couple of good matchups there. Dusty's form's just beautiful at the moment at the right time of year. I'm picking Richmond, but I reckon it'll be only a couple of kicks.
Massive moment for Brisbane, this. They've won their last 8 at the Gabba. They have lost their last 7 at the MCG, and they've copped a couple of real smackings in amongst that 7. They need to stand up. They need to show they can play at the G. They don't need to win, but they need to be somewhere under 30 points, I would have thought.
I reckon they'll be under 30 points.
I'm going to tip Richmond by 20.
Yeah, I reckon by about that. I reckon by about 20 points as well. Final game of the round, Port Adelaide v Freo. Could have been a very interesting day for Freo, but good luck, David Hale.
Yeah, well done to David Hale. He gets it's only a 1 week shot, and it's probably, I suspect they'll play some kids, so we won't get a true indication.
We won't see Sandy, we won't see Ballantyne. We may see the last of Ed Langdon and Bradley Hill.
Bradley Hill only if it suits Fremantle. Yes. I get a bit annoyed when people say Bradley Hill's played his last game, only if it suits Fremantle.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a year left on his contract.
He's got two years left
on his contract. So.
I think Port Adelaide wins this. I think Fremantle will go with a few kids. I hope they pick a few like Tom North. I even hope someone like, say, a Toby Watson gets a game. Let's put them in. Let's see how they go.
Absolutely. I think Port wins this one too. I just hope they're behind at quarter time because I want to see another Kenny Hinkley spray as I saw at quarter time last week. That was one of the all-time greats. And then went back for seconds. That was captivating viewing and it was worth watching again too.
Okay, margin?
I reckon 18 points.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us today. We've been brought to you by Tab Touch. Well done to Ross Lyon and Steve Rosich. Whatever else we say about them, they were at the helm of Fremantle during the club's most successful period to date. That is not a thing to be sneezed at. They took them into grand finals. They took them into successive finals campaign.
And let's just hope, Duff, the next coach we get some silverware.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Right, thanks for joining us. We'll be back on Tuesday with all the implications and the dissection of the final round
and
of the
home and
away season.
We won't be looking at the games the following weekend because that'll be the bye.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.